Today, as we all know, is Rav Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva's Yahrzeit. And one of the things that Rav Noach used to always push us on, again and again and again, was strengthening our emunah, strengthening our belief in Hashem, allowing our belief in Hashem to become deeper and deeper, more constant, obviously to try to inspire others to have emunah in Hashem. So I thought for this morning to try to learn a topic together that will hopefully allow us to appreciate emunah on a different level. I've discussed it with some of the Talmidim here over the course of the years, and now try to bring it all together. Okay. We'll start with source number one. Parts of it we'll read inside, some of it we won't. Source number one is from the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Or HaChaim Siman and Beis asks the following question. He says, if you look at our Psukei DeZimra that we say every single morning, so we have the Halalukas, we have Ashrei, which come from Tehillim. And then at the end of Psukei DeZimra, we say Az Yashir, the song, this week's Parsha. This works out perfectly. This coming week's Parsha, B'nai Yisrael went through the Yam Suf after leaving Mitzrayim. And after they left, they sang this Shira, they sang the song to Hashem. We say that every single day at the end of our Psukei DeZimra. The Aruch HaShulchan asks, Yesh Lishol She'ela Gedola. He says, I have a big question. Why is this song, the Az Yashir, why is that after all of the psukim in Tehillim? V'harei Torah kodemis l'nevim, v'kol shechein l'ksuvim, Torah, the Chumash, always takes precedence from the Navi, or from the scriptures, from the ksuvim, and therefore, over here, it should be the exact same thing. If you want to start praising Hashem, you want to start talking about how great Hashem is, we should have first began with psukim in the Chumash, and then we should have jumped to Tehillim. Chumash is much more important. So why over here is it reversed in that we say Tehillim, and at the end we say the psukim from the Chumash? The Gemara says, when it comes to the psukim that we say on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to go in a certain order. First the Torah, then the Navi, then the Ksuvim. And here he says a phenomenal historical statement. This should be underlined and bolded. V'ulai, shemipneze, maybe that's the reason, katava Rambam, that the Rambam wrote, b'perek shvi mitfila din yud gimel, in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tfila, 13th halacha, the Koran Shiras Hayam Acher Yishtabach. The Rambam Siddur, Rechein Kasi Besofa Nusach HaTfila, in the Rambam Siddur, Az Yashir was not at the end of Psukei DeZimra. Az Yashir was after Yishtabach. It was at the beginning of the brachos that we say before Kriyat Shema. It was part of Shacharis. Unbelievable thing. We don't do it that way. But in the Rambam's, I guess, community and his custom, he writes that the nusach of his siddur was that Az Yashir was part of Shacharis, not part of Psukei DeZimra. And that answers all the questions, because we don't go in the order of Tehillim and then Chumash. No, Psukei DeZimra is only Tehillim. Then when you get to Shacharis, you start off with Az Yashir, which is Chumash. That's what he writes. Ubir Dvar of Yeshlomar, and he says the explanation might be, Deshiris Hayam Einu Psukei DeZimra Klal. The singing of Az Yashir is not part of Psukei DeZimra. El Shakavu Kodem Birchas Yotzer Or. It's right before the first brach of Kriyat Shema. Le'eze Tam Akamus Imahem. For whatever the reason is, he doesn't tell us the reason. The topic of this year is to be able to tell you the reason. Okay. Let's go to source Bet. Reb Chaim V'Lajiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, lived 1749 to 1821. He discovered, he was a student of the great Chagas Aryeh, and then became a student of the Vilna Gaon only at the age of 25, but became his prized disciple, his star student. And he wrote an incredible sefer called Nefesh HaChaim. And the Nefesh HaChaim writes as follows. Kishem Elokim, and we say the name Elokim in our Shmoneh, ever. Every time we call God Elokim. What does that mean? What attribute of God are we referring to when we say that name? Yadua perusho shehu mora. We know that the explanation is that it teaches shehu yisbarach shemo balakochos kulam. Kmo shekasa betur or achaim simin hei. The halacha tells us that we're supposed to have in mind when we say Elokim that Hashem is the Baal HaKochos Kulam, that He's the owner, He's the one in control of all the forces in the world. The Inyan Mashu Yisbarach Nikra Baal HaKochos, what does that mean, that Hashem is in control, He's the owner of all of the forces? Kilo Kimiras Basavidam Miras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is different than God. Ki Adam kishabona binyan, when a man builds a tower, a house, derech mashal, for example, me'etz from wood, ina bone bore umamzi az mikocho eitz, he doesn't go ahead and create the wood, rak, only shalokeach eitzim shekvar nivru, he takes already pre-existing wood, right, he goes to the lumber yard, umisajim binyan, and he puts it up in the right way in the house. The acha shekvar sidjum, after he put it all in place, took the nails, banged it together, the firitzonu the way that he wants. Im shekocho husar, even though afterwards the contractor leaves and he goes on vacation, he's gone. In istalik mehem im kozot abinyan kayim, but still the house still stands there. Once he took all the pieces of wood, put it together, and he goes away, the building still exists. Avahu yisparo shemo, but when it comes to God, it's different. Kamo be'et b'riyas ha'olamos kulam. Just like when God created all of the worlds, baram v'himtziam hu yisbarach yesh mi'ayin, He created everything from nothing. Be'kocho abilti tachlis, with His incredible energy, His incredible power, infinite power. Kein me'az kol yom v'chol rega. Here's the key line. Every single day since then, and every single moment mamish, kol koach mitziusam v'sidram v'kiyumam, its entire existence of this shtender and this mechitza and these tables and everything's existence, toloi rak b'mashu yisbarach shemo, mashpia behem b'rtzonu yisbarach. It's only because God is constantly, every single moment, infusing everything with His will for it to continue to exist. Kol rega koach v'shapas or chadash. Every moment is a new light, a new force that comes into the world in order for that item to continue to exist. And if God would take away His power, His flow, af rega achas, even for one moment, everything would turn away into nothing. It's like electricity. When it's plugged into the wall, every single second it's getting electricity. Take it out, the fan stops running. The same thing. God, we are plugged in. Every single thing in the world is plugged into God every single moment. If God would pull His force, everything would just stop. It would not be non-existent. And the Nefesh HaChaim brings a proof to this. Something that we say in davening every single day, the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, it says, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh V'reshit. Then Hashem is Mechadesh. He renews in His goodness every single day, and not just every single day, Tamid, constantly, every single moment, Ma'aseh V'reshit, a creation of the world. Every single moment, God is recreating the world. He's giving the ability of the existence of the world from nothing to something. Hainu Tamid Mamish. Always. Kol Eit V'rega, every single moment. V'rayatam mifureshes. Now this is important. How do you know that's true? Nefesh HaChaim says it's true, but how does he know? So he points out that we say in davening every day how we know it's true. The Anshei Knesset Gedola, who wrote our Siddur, they insert it into our Berachos Kriyat Shema. We say, by the way, the words HaMechadesh B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tamid twice in our first Berachos of Kriyat Shema. If you look at your article on page 84 and page 88, but at the end of the bracha on page 88, it tells you the proof. Ka'amur, like it says, Le'osei Orim Gedolim, a pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Vav, 136. We will study that chapter together in one moment. That over there it says, Le'osei Orim Gedolim Ki La'olam Chasto, because God's chesed, His kindness, is for eternity. Le'osei, in present tense, He makes the Orim Gedolim. He makes the big luminaries, the sun, the moon. He makes them, not he made them back in the good old days. He makes them right now. He's making the sun. What do you mean he's making the sun? He made the sun. No, la'osei, in present tense, he's making the sun at every moment. Shelo amar asa. He doesn't say he made it. B'lashon avar, in past tense. El la'osei b'lashon hoveh, in present tense. So that's what we see, that every single moment God is making creation. He's creating, he's giving the force for the sun and everything in this world to exist at every moment. And that is what we say in our davening, in Birchas Kriyat Shema, every single day. And now he goes on to explain. Now, you can't really see this, right? We don't see this. But the way I like to think about this, I hope it's okay to say this, it's like the good old movies. How are movies made? So you would take pictures, right, and lots of pictures on slides, and then you'd run the slides very, very quickly, and it would look like the man is running, you know, like this. But we know he wasn't really running. It was just like a picture. And each frame existed on its own without the one before that and without the one after that, right? It's just when you move all the frames quickly, all of a sudden it looks like the man is running through it. Okay, now they got more sophisticated, but they still used that idea for a very, very long period of time until they got into digital processing. But that's what it is. Every single moment in time is a frame. And there's no continuation between one frame and the next. It looks to us like I'm talking and I'm saying full sentences and things like that. That's the way God wanted it to work. But every single moment is really its own frame, not dependent on the frame before and not dependent on what's going to be afterwards. Every single moment is a new creation in time. That's what the Nefesh HaChaim goes along and says. Now, if you turn to page 2, I just want to take a sidestep for one moment to show you something fascinating. We say this in davening every single day. We should at least understand what we're saying. So the big problem with this, I have to be honest, this source that we know that God recreates, infuses the world with the holiness, with the power to exist every single moment. Ka'amor, like we say, la'osei orim gedolim, that Hashem presently makes these great luminaries, that's the proof, is not such a proof. If you look it up inside in Tehillim, like everyone should always look things inside when the Chazal, when the Gemara, the Tanaim bring a proof, that's what we're supposed to do, right? So you look it up inside in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav, here is a copy on page 2. We see many examples of things that it says in present tense, even though it's impossible that Hashem is doing it right now. For example, we'll just take one. Let's take Pasuk Yud Gimel on the right side on the bottom. Legozer Yamsuf Legezarim. That Hashem, in present tense, splits the Yamsuf into tracks for Bnei Yisrael to walk through. Kila Olam Chasto, for his chesed is eternal. Right now, there's tracks being made, split in the sea. It's also Lashon Hoveh. It's the present tense. And we see that also in Pasuk Yud, and we also see it in Pasuk Tet Zayin, top left. L'molech amo b'midbar, that he presently, in Lashon Hoveh, present tense, is walking the Jews through the desert. Really? Let's go look. We can't, it's lockdown. Okay, but it's not happening. So what does it mean? We see all over the place over here, this idea of Lashon Hoveh is present tense. So how can we bring a proof from Pasuk Zayin, La'osei orim gedolim ki la'olam chaso, that's in present tense. If we see, that was the way David HaMelech wrote this chapter in Tehillim. This was a question that bothered me for a very long period of time. I'd like to share with you an answer from a tremendous tzaddik. He lives not that far away in Arzei Habira, here in Yerushalayim. His name is Rav Elio Diskin. Okay, and he points out something fascinating. I tried to break this up for us to appreciate this, since we say this in our Pesukei Nezimra on Shabbos, we should have a higher appreciation of what we say. And he says as follows. He says, if you look at the Pesukim very, very carefully, there are a lot of different topics that we praise Hashem about. At the start of every new topic, it's Lashon Hoveh. It's the present tense. But then the subsequent Pesukim about that same topic go back to Lashon Avar. Go back to past tense. So for example, let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel, the bottom right-hand side. Ligozer Yamsuf Ligezarim. That's a new topic that wasn't spoken about beforehand. That Hashem split the sea for people to walk through. That's Lashon Hoveh. That is present tense. The heavier Yisrael Betocho, and he allowed them to walk through it. That is past tense. V'nir paro, v'chel v'yamsuf, and he twist and turned paro and the Egyptians in the yamsuf, that's past tense. The first sentence of every topic is present tense, and all the subsequent psukim are in past tense. We have the same thing in Pasuk Yud, right above that. L'makei Mitzrayim b'v'choreim. He hits, present tense, it's a new topic. He hit the Egyptians with the b'chor, with the firstborn. Next Pasuk, v'yotzei Yisrael mitocham. He took them out, past tense. Again, new topic, Lashon Hoveh. Subsequent psukim in that topic, jump back to Lashon Avar. But there's one difference, and we don't have to go through all this right now, we don't have time. You'll see it, that this is the way, and I broke it up this way for you. But there's one difference that breaks all the rules, and that is Pasuk Hey Vav Zayin Ches. Pasuk Hey, La'osei Shemayim B'tfuna. Hashem makes, present tense, new topic. He makes the skies, the heavens. L'roka Ha'aretz Alamayim. And he hovers over the land on top of the water. Present tense again. La'osei Orim Gedolim. Present tense again. He makes the luminaries. He currently makes it. That's all about creation of the world. That's one topic. And each pasuk is present tense. It should have been le'asa orim gedolim. If you would have gone with the pattern, you start off with Lashon Hoveh, the present tense, and then all subsequent psukim are past tense. And it doesn't happen over here. Why not? That is the source that that is explanation we're saying in our davening, because it's impossible to say past tense when it comes to creation of anything in this world. Everything in this world is presently being created and recreated and recreated every single moment of time, with Hashem infusing His holiness, His energy into the world. Okay, let's move on. Page three. Page three, we have a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Havi Zahir b'kriyat Shema b'tfila. A person should be careful in his saying of Shema and his davening. U'keshatam mitpalel, and when you daven, al tas tfilat chakeva, you shouldn't make your tfila set. Ela rachamim b'tachanunim, you should ask for mercy and supplication. Lefnei hamakom baruchu, in front of the makom. We call God Hamakom, the place. And we find this in many other spots in Chazal, that we call God Hamakom. What does it mean that God is the Makom? What does that mean? Say it in Haggadah, Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. We call Hashem the Makom. What does it mean, the Makom, the place? What does that mean? So here in the Nefesh HaChaim, again, in Shar Gimel, that source Vav over here, and source Zion. I'm not going to go through this inside right now, just for the sake of time. But there he explains that what is Makomo, the place? So he gives example. If you have an object, like let's take a glass vase, and you put the glass vase on a table. So what is the place of the table? What is the place of the vase? It's the table. What does that mean, that the table is the place of the vase? It means that if you take away the table, the vase will immediately fall down. The place, the table, is the support for the item. And that, on the simple level, he explains in Source Vav, in Gimel Aleph, the Nefesh HaChaim says, that is what it means that God is the place of the world, that He is the support of the world. However, in Source Zion, he goes on and he says, the Pnimius HaInyan. But if you look at the depth, really, of what this is talking about, it's much deeper than just a table and a vase. Because when you have a table and you have a vase, it's true that the table supports the vase from falling down, but the vase has an existence on its own, right? There's a vase here. You can touch it. It's there. It exists on its own. And the table supports the vase. When it comes to Hashem, it's much more than that, because He doesn't just support the vase. He's giving the vase the ability to exist. Every single moment, it's because of Him that the vase exists. So we can't have a word for that. And therefore, we use the word makom, because that's the closest description in our way of understanding to explain what it means that God is supporting, and more than supporting, He's infusing the energy every single moment into all aspects of creation. Okay. Some of you might think that this is like a little bit above our heads. Listen to how practical this is. Look at Source Chet. on the bottom of page 3. This is from the Sefer Tomer Devorah. Rav Moshe Cordovero was a great Kabbalist. He's buried in Tzfat. He lived between the years 1522 and 1570. And while most of the whole work is Kabbalistic, but the first part is learnt by us simpletons. Us, I mean me. And there he talks about the different character traits of Hashem and how we could emulate all of those character traits of him. So the first midah, the first character trait that he describes is the fact that Hashem is a melech ne'elav. Let's read this inside because it's so powerful. Moreh al hayot HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech ne'elav. He's a king who gets hurt. He invites insult. Sovel elbon. He tolerates insult. Mashlo yachileo rayon, which is inconceivable to a person's mind. What does that mean? Harei ein adavar nistar mehashka chaso b'lisafek. There's no doubt that there's nothing that is separate or concealed from Hashem's watching over and involvement. Va'od ein rega shelo ye adam nizon miskayim. There's not a moment, as we just explained, there's not a moment that man is not being nourished and preserved mikoach elyon ha-shofei alav, from the highest force that flows onto him. Vari timsa, so we see, and listen to this, this is crazy, okay? Shemei olam lo chet adam, man has never sinned, nego against God, shelo yehu ba'oso rega, that at the same moment that he's speaking Lashon Hara, and he's speaking with his mouth the horrible words, at that same moment, mamish, shofei Hashem akiyumo. Hashem is flowing the energy for his mouth to move. That's wild. You're rebelling against God, and he's just like helping you out. Here, continue. Here, here's some more energy, please. Here, move that mouth. Faster, move it faster. What's going on? As we're insulting God, as we're going ahead and doing what's wrong, we're rebelling, Hashem is continuously giving us the power and the energy for it to continue. Even though we're using that energy that God is giving us, Hashem didn't stop it. He didn't pull the plug. He tolerates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates Album Kazeh, such an insult. To continue giving the ability for the man to move his limbs. V'hu motzi oso koach be'oso rega, page 4. At that same moment, he's giving him the power, b'chet v'avonu machis. And when we're angering God, he's giving us that power. V'akadosh baruch hu sovel, Hashem tolerates it. V'lo tomar, and don't tell me. She'enu yachol limno mimenu atovahu chas v'shalom. Don't say that God can't stop right now. Maybe he started the process, let it go. He can't stop it at every moment. He could make a person's hand dry up, become incapacitated, can't move it, paralyzed, viraglav in his legs, like he did for Yeravam. What is the story with Yeravam? So Malachim Aleph, Perakid Gimel, and Perakid Beis before that, Yeravam was the king of the kingdoms besides of Judah. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, was the king of Yehuda, of Sheva Yehuda, Yeravam, and everyone else. And he wasn't so good. And he made two golden calves, and he put one in Beit El, and one in Dan. And he made a holiday, instead of the 15th day of Tishrei, which is our Sukkot, he made the 15th day of Cheshvan, the 8th month, and month later, where people would go up there, and they'd start to bring korbanos, sacrifices, and he made a temple, and he got people, they'd be the Kohanim, they weren't from the tribe of Levi, but he made them the priests, and they were going to go ahead and do it, and it was on that day that Yeravam went up the altar to bring the sacrifices, and there was a man, a Navi, from Yehuda, came to tell him, and tell the Mizbeach, he said, all these Kohanim that are, Kohanim, quote-unquote, that are sacrificing on your altar, which is not the altar, the Beis HaMikdash, right? All those people are going to get sacrificed on your altar. What they're doing, horrible, horrible things. There's going to be a new person, Yoshiyahu, is going to come, and it's going to happen. And he like basically said that you're going down, and Yeravam was on there and he stuck at his heart and said, seize that man, and his hand stuck out like that. It stayed there, and then he had to daven. He had to ask the Navi to daven for him to let his hand move again. So right there, he was doing something bad. He was like, grab the Navi, and he got stuck. Hashem, stop this force. Okay, you're gonna grab the Navi. Stop it. At that moment, God could do that. He could stop it at every moment. You can use your hand for something bad. You can use your eyes for something bad. You can use your mouth for something bad. You're going to run somewhere that's inappropriate, doing something that you're not supposed to do. God can stop it at any moment, but he lets you go. He still continues to give us the ability to use our body. Vim kozesha koch b'yadu l'haksi arkoch anish ba'u v'aya lo lomar. Hashem should have said, "Kevin shata chote negdi, since you're rebelling against me, sinning against me, techta b'shalcha lo b'shali, I'm going to take away my force." But he still doesn't hold back his goodness. Hashem just wants to give us. He wants to give us the ability to do whatever we want to do. It's an amazing thing. He continues to give from his goodness to let us just do things, even though at the end he's insulted and he has to be sober that. And he says, we'll skip to the last line. And this is why it's so practical. Hare zu mida, second from the end line, second word from the end of the line. Hare zu mida shetzarcha adam lisnaigba. This is what a person has to act this way as well in his life. Ritzoni hasavlanus. A person has to be able to tolerate insult. V'chein ayosol nelav. You could be insulted. Afilu madrega zuv im kozelo yesaf tuvasom in a makabel. This is a very high level. But someone could be doing something bad to you and take the insult and you can still give to that person. Doesn't mean just because someone does something bad to you that, okay, now I'm going to have to ignore you, I have to get upset at you, and I'm going to try to get you back. And no. Even more than that, while the person's insulting you, you could still be nice to him, and you could still speak nicely to him, and you could still be care for him, and you could still daven for him. It's an amazing thing. That's what Hashem does. That while we are sinning, and we're not being nice to God, and we're not appreciating what he's doing, Hashem is still giving us good. So the same thing in all of our relationships. Someone could be doing something bad to us. So what do? We stop? No, that's not what God does. God continues to be good. And nice, and caring, and giving from himself. So too by us. We have to do that even though it's difficult for us to do. Okay. So we understand this idea of the Nefesh HaChaim, which really isn't the idea of Nefesh HaChaim. We say it every single day in our davening, on page 88 in the Art School Siddur. But when did the Jewish people recognize this? When did they come to appreciate that every single moment of time God is infusing the energy for everything to exist? When did they figure that one out? So let's look at source Tet and Yud. This week's parsha. The pasuk says, after they got out of the Yam Suf, they crossed the sea, Vayar Yisrael Asayar Gdola, Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim. The Jews saw what was done to the Egyptians. Vayashem, Vayiru Ames Hashem. And the Jews feared God. Vayaminu B'Hashem. And they also believed in Hashem, u'b'Moshe Avdo, and in Moshe. So the Mechilta points out, if you read the Pasuk, literally, that means, that until this point, they didn't fear God. And now, they do fear God. And the Beis Halevi source Yud Aleph, by the underline, three lines in, quotes from the Zohar Kadosh, that makes the same diuk, points out the same thing from the end of the Pasuk. It sounds like, until now, the Jews didn't believe in God, and now they do believe in God. How could that be? The Jewish people just saw the 10 Makos in Mitzrayim. They saw what happens if you mess with God. The Egyptians were not doing too hot. They got punished big time in Egypt. Isn't that enough to fear God after that? What does it mean that till now they didn't fear God, and now they do fear God? They should have feared God the entire time. And how about they didn't believe in God till now? Of course they believed in God. They saw what happened. So the Zohar asks, how could it be that they didn't believe in God? And now, only after Kriyas Yamsuf, after they walked through the Yamsuf and they saw what happened to the Yamsuf, now they fear God and now they believe in God. How could that be? So the Beis Halevi says a fascinating thing. We're not going to see it inside, but you have it here to go through if you'd like. He says that there are two types, actually there are three types, I'm going to focus on two. There are two types of fear. One is yiras ha'onesh. It's a fear of punishment. You're scared. You know that there are consequences to your actions, and you know that if you do X, Y, or Z, you'll go to jail, you'll be punished, you'll get a ticket. There's a certain fear of consequences. Yiras ha'onesh. That, he points out, really stems from the Yetzer Hara, the fact that we have a Yetzer Hara, so we know even if we're not planning on sinning. We know we always have to be on guard because our natural tendency is going to be to do things that are wrong. So we have to be on guard all the time, and the consequences help keep us in check. Now, this type of fear doesn't specifically have to do with God, right? If I'm in a difficult situation where there are armed robbers or wild animals, etc., I'm also going to be very, very scared, right? We can have that same type of yiras ha'onesh, fear of punishment, fear of consequences, from humans as well. Okay, that is level number one of fear. Then there's level two of fear. That's now I'm holding the base of Levi on page 5 on the top. Okay, level two of fear is that at every single moment we know that God could stop giving the force, the energy that we've been talking about till now, and everything could just stop existing. I could stop speaking. I could stop with my hands. I could stop with my legs, walking with my legs. Every single moment, God could stop that energy from flowing. So that also causes a certain level of fear. But that's a different type of a fear. And the Beis Halevi gives a mashal on the third line on page 5. He says, it's an example of someone who's drowning in the water. And all of a sudden, a guy takes a life-saving mechanism, throws it into the river, throws it into the sea, long rope, and you grab onto it. And you're holding on. And he's holding onto the rope, right? And he's going to try to pull you in. So now you have a very interesting type of a feeling. On one hand, you're scared stiff of that guy. Please don't let go. It's all in your hands. You can let go at any moment. I'm gonna drown. On the other hand, I love you. I love you so much for holding on to this rope. Right? It's a very funny type of emotion. Two emotions of love and fear that cannot be separated. I'm scared. Please don't let go. I love you. Please. Thank you so much for not letting go. Thank you. Thank you for throwing this to me and giving this to me. At the same time, you have the love and you have the fear. Such a dual emotion exists mostly from God. From God, except for that one case of the life-saving rope. But mostly from God, where at every moment we could stop being able to speak, stop being able to learn, being able to stop to do whatever we're eating, etc., whatever it is. So we have this love-fear relationship with Hashem. That's called, he says, Yirat Hashem, fear of Hashem. Because it can't be just of a human being, so it's specifically Yirat Hashem, the fear of God. God, I love you. Every second you're letting me speak, every second, every word, every move is because of you. I love you. It's amazing. What an amazing thing that you're giving to me. We saw it before. You give it to me when I sin. That's awesome. On the other hand, sure, please don't stop it. Please, I'm scared, right? There, at the same time, we have this Yira and we have this Ava. For Hashem. Explains the Beis Halevi, type one of Yira, of fear, the Jews already recognized when they left Mitzrayim from watching what happened to the Egyptians. They saw that Hashem is very powerful. Hashem could punish in very exquisite ways. There are consequences to your actions. The Mitzrayim didn't behave. This is what they got. They had the Yiras HaOnesh. They had level one Yira. But something happened when they went through the Yamsuf. When they crossed the sea, they experienced something different. They were able to appreciate this new idea that every moment Hashem is infusing the energy into it. And what's that? Let's turn to page 6. Source Yud Bet. This week's parasha again. Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam. Moshe put his hand, his arm on the sea. Vayolach Hashem et hayam beruach kadim aza kol alayla. Hashem made a very strong wind the entire night. This is preceding the splitting of the sea. Vayasam es hayam l'charava. And he made the sea into what seems like dry land. Vayibaku amayim. It's split. So the literal translation of this pasuk sounds like, we all know, right, that the sea split and the Jewish people were walking on the bottom of the sea, on the dry land, on the mud, on the bottom there. The problem is that a pasuk later on, when we're singing the song of the Shira, it says, Source Yud Gimel, Uveruach HaPecha Ner Mumayim, and with the breath God's breath, the wind of its breath, his breath, the water started to pile up. Nitzv kumod neid nozlim, it made these pillars. Kafu te'omot belev yam. The water's congealed. The water's congealed. So the Rishonim, source Yedale, the Cheskuni, and source Tetvav, the Das Akenu Bali Tosos, they ask, it seems like we're hearing two different stories. One sounds like it's split all the way to the bottom, and then the Jews went down to the bottom of the sea and walked through it on the dry land. But the other pasuk, the second one, sounds like the waters congealed and then they walked on the waters. Which one is it? So they both answer something fascinating. And this way, this week's parsha, whoever has the opportunity to spend a little extra time reading, you got to read it very carefully. It's full and full and full of fascinating, fascinating facts that you don't necessarily get from just reading the English quickly. Okay, it's amazing. The details are amazing. What was happening at Kriyas Yam? So if they explain, if it would have been split all the way to the bottom, that would have been very inconvenient for the Jewish people. Because the bottom of the sea is very deep. Anyone that ever went snorkeling or scuba diving knows that the where you pick your shells on the beach is not the level of the depths of the water. Right? It goes down and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So if you imagine if it split like that, we'd have to walk and walking with the kids. You know, it wasn't like it was just, you know, they had kids and stuff. Like they're going to walk down, 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 down. And then when it gets to the other side, up, 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 up. That'd be very, very complicated. So God did it something absolutely amazing. What he did was he congealed the waters so that the waters would be flat with the shore. So they'd be able to walk straight. What do you mean? We know that the waters were split. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because on top of the shore, there's also water. That's why the waves keep on coming above the shore. There's water higher. The water level is higher than the ground level. So all the higher parts of that water, that split up. It was suspended in air, and the Jewish people walked straight on the water so that they wouldn't have to walk down and they wouldn't have to walk up. So all water higher than the basic level of land, that was up like this. The Jewish people passed through, but they didn't have to go down and they didn't have to come back up. So it was both. It was kafu talmot belev yam, it congealed, but it was also by baku hamayim that it split for them to be able to walk through as if they're walking on dry land. So what happened? The Jewish people saw the mighty waters that move and fast and this and that, all of a sudden, stop! And they just walked right through. They recognized that there is no difference between walking on water and walking on dry land. Why is that? Because every single moment, why is water dangerous? For the second you put your foot in the water, all of a sudden you're going to drown? No. It's because there's another second, and another second, and another second, where you go down, 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 down. But if Hashem just stops it, he stops infusing the every moment type of force, so then the water, you can't sink in water. It just stays the way it is. Everything just stays. Water stays up here, water stays like this. B'nai Yisrael recognize that there is no difference between walking on water and walking on land. It's just that Hashem, every moment, is giving his force into the world, and therefore this seems to be this movie, this seems to be this chain of events that happens at every moment. But every moment in its own picture, in its own frame, is solid. And therefore, there's nothing really to worry about. There's nothing really to be scared of except for the fact that Hashem is giving us the opportunity to walk on the water. Hashem is giving us the opportunity to talk, to walk, to see, etc. at every single moment. And therefore, that's what they recognized. When everything froze, they realized that everything is just a bunch of screens, a bunch of frames that are going at a very, very quick and fast pace and makes it look like there's a whole story happening. But every moment, Hashem is giving the electricity, he's giving us the energy for everything to be able to go ahead and exist. That was the new level that the Pasuk said, Vayiru. They feared. They feared a different type of a fear from Hashem. Hashem, I depend on you every moment. It's not just about consequences and punishments. Every moment, I'm dependent on you. And they believed in the words of Moshe Avdo, like the Beis Halevi quotes from the Zohar. That the Zohar says, what is it that believed? They believed in the statement that Moshe had said beforehand, watch, you are going to see that Hashem is going to save you.
they realize that there's nothing to worry about ever, because Hashem is really helping us at every single moment, and every moment could go ahead and be that life saver that we spoke about beforehand. That was the level of Emunah that they achieved at that time. And now we're ready to answer our original question. Why, we asked, was Az Yashir originally, or maybe even if not originally, now it's all the way at the end, close to the first brach of Kriyat Shema? What's the relationship between Az Yashir, the song that we sang when we went through the sea, and the first brach of Kriyat Shema? And the answer is, because at the beginning of the first brach of Kriyat Shema and the end of bracha of Kriyat Shema, pages 84 and 88, we say, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid, that Hashem every moment is recreating the world. He's giving us the force to be able to continue. Ka'amur, like it says, La'oseh, in present tense, He makes the Orim Gedolim. He's making the sun right now. He's doing it right now. That is the beginning and the end of the bracha. That is what it's all about. That Hashem is creating the world at every single second. When did we realize that? When we crossed the Yam Suf. And that's why we say Az Yashir in conjunction with the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. This, the Beis Halevi says, is a level of Emunah that is not so easy for us to attain. Yeah, you have to think about it a lot, and it can maybe make you a little overwhelmed. So he says, really, the tzaddikim are able to do it on a constant basis. So here we are, all tzaddikim, and therefore, I'm just letting you know. But for those who aren't there yet, so a little bit, we should think about this, at least in our davening, every single day. We say it anyway. So at least at that point, we should recognize and appreciate the awesomeness, the incredible Hashem that at every moment is holding us on for dear life and giving us the ability to do everything. It should hold us back from sinning, because Hashem is giving us the good even then. We should even feel worse. And we should be able to tolerate other people and sometimes take insults when other people do things that aren't appropriate to us. We should be able to respond in the positive and only give good to that person. Yeah, it hurts us and we're insulted, etc. But God does it to us all the time, and we want to be like Hashem. So that should be a regular thing. But the Beis Halevi says also that La'asid Lavo, at the end of days, and he brings Psukim, everyone is going to recognize this all the time. We're going to be able to appreciate at every single moment that Hashem is there with us, Hashem cares for us, Hashem is supporting us, Hashem is giving us all the energy, every little thing that we need at every single moment. And Be'ezus Hashem, this will take us to a whole new level. Like he writes, you can't get upset anymore, you can't get scared anymore, you're just in a total bliss. You're so excited about the amazing relationship that we have with Hashem at every moment. Shavua Tov.